Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Our absolute pleasure. Now, you've recently authored a fairly compelling article about your views on human rights as a Western construct. You mentioned a memory that really setting gears the ideas for you, basically shifting your views on human rights. Could you explain to us what this particular incident was?
Sure. So I delivered a speech for International Women's Day, and in it I was reflecting on a particular moment last year when I was sitting in Abu Dhabi Airport in transit, and I was going through my Facebook feed, and a press release from the Greens came up, and in it it was announcing that they had tried to put in a motion to seek condemnation of to extend condolences to the victims of a horrific aerial bombing attack by international coalition forces on a trauma hospital in Afghanistan, which happened in October 2015. And that was the only facility in Afghanistan to offer high level life and limb saving trauma care in northeastern Afghanistan. And in it, there were, I think, 14 staff members died, 24 patients. People were burned in their beds, staff were decapitated, lost limbs, and people who were fleeing for safety were then gunned down by circling gunships. And as I was reading this press release, then announced that the Turnbull government refused to extend condolences to the victims of that horrific attack, and would not agree to the call for an independent investigation. And I just, I've been a Palestinian human rights activist for a long time now, been part of that. So, I know for one what it feels like to have a sort of very skewed application of international humanitarian law. But for me, this almost just brought it home that when it comes to victims of violence, we really do have a completely skewed understanding of what humanity is, and the reality is that people who are killed in Afghanistan or the global south or the third world, whatever way you want to describe it, are simply not afforded the same protection, empathy, rights as Western victims, and we see this time and time again.
Now, if our understanding of the world is from a Western perspective, a Eurocentric perspective, what are some of the critiques you have of movements that are pursuing human rights, like feminism, which claims to be universal?
Well, what I was also discussing is that part of the reason why people are, often unable to evoke the same level of empathy and sympathy to these victims is because of the very way that they can perceive the world. And often when we think about, when we think about victims of war and disaster and terrorism, state terrorism, Western-sanctioned state terrorism, in the Global South, in the Middle East, in the Third World, when we think about that, it's often from a position of Western privilege and superiority, a world which is basically structured to privilege our Western lives, our Western emotions, our comforts, our needs. And from that flows the idea that people in the Global South, in Third World, are just victims. So the way that we perceive them is as just victims. So we even don't afford them the same nuance and complexity as us, so they are just different kinds of human beings to us. Just imagining them as going about their daily lives is something that we fail to do. We just see them as used to dying, as and for me, a very good example of that is the response to the horrific terrorist attacks in Paris, where, Facebook offered, safety checks. Facebook offered, the color filter for profile photos. And there was, a collective universal outcry from leaders around the world. And not just leaders. I mean, ordinary people in Western cities just really grieving about that terrorist attack. And the day before, we had terrorist bombs in Beirut and absolutely it was either ignored or it was a matter of people having to remind others that there was also such an attack in Beirut. So it's this, real difference in the way that we respond to death among Westerners and the way we respond to it in the rest of the world. And I really do think it's a different logic. It's almost an assumption that, well, they're part of uncivilized, barbaric societies. That's just what happens. That's what they do. Mm. That's just part of their day-to-day lives. When it comes to mainstream feminist movements, it's an inability to perceive women in, the woman as the other in the same way that we live our lives, to understand that they are fighting and often, exhibiting so much more resilience and, stamina and initiatives under the most, awful circumstances, but also to understand that they're not just victims, that we have so much to learn from them as well.
Mm. So essentially, because of the way our media and the way in which many of these organisations have been, created and communicated by white people, we see these white victims of these tragedies with a certain level of development. They are much like ourselves, at least ourselves as the media portrays ourselves, while the brown people are treated two-dimensionally as little sort of paper targets that are there to sort of be shot and blown up and therefore don't really matter as much because they are two-dimensional.
Exactly. So it really, I think, does flow from that. And also, I think it comes back to this idea of the human and this assumption and rhetoric of it being universal, but it is very particular. And so when a Western person's, rights or life or safety is threatened, we do take that very differently to when a brown person's rights or safety is threatened, because human rights it is very particularized. It is not universalized. And, the war on terror is the perfect example of that, where we have had millions and millions of lives, destroyed because of the horrific, September 11 attacks, where, almost 3,000 innocent Americans were murdered in those attacks. And as the trade-off now for that, as we have had millions of brown lives destroyed because of that. So I think that is a very stark example of the value and the imbalance in value of human lives when it comes to Western bodies and security and the rest of the world.
Mm. Well, thank you very much, Randa. We will leave it there, but really appreciate your insight into this one. It's quite a contentious issue and obviously one worth looking at.
Thank you so much for having me on your program.
Our absolute pleasure.